Aloha, Uncle Gabby. Thank you
Oh,
so
aloha
much
pua,
for agreeing to be
aloha
here.
kakayaka.
We're here at the Maui Historical Society, Hale Hoʻike Ike Bailey House on December 28th at about 12:30. Uncle, you mind introducing yourself?
I'm sorry.
Oh, if you don't, if you just want to introduce yourself.
Oh, my name's Richard Govea Jr. They call me Gabby. Born and raised in Haile Mali,
So thank you so much, Uncle. So I feel like Akua kind of put us together. We met this past Saturday at a paddling regatta, and I was so interested to hear about, your role at Nakai
Oh, yeah.
Evalu and your role with the kids and the Maninis, as well as growing up in Hale'i Mai'li. So I just wanted to open up and if you could, wherever you want to start, we could, whatever you want to talk
Okay, I
about.
was born at Puunene Hospital on Hanson Road in 1951, February 23rd. And I grew up in Haile Mai'li, my pineapple plantation. And it's a really good place to grow up, you know. You had free house, you know. The only thing you had to pay for was, well, for us anyways, like spam rice, Vienna sausage, corned beef, because we had cattle, we had pigs, we had goats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know. So never have to buy too much. No,
And
and the
did
only
your
thing you had to pay for was electricity, and that's pretty it. If you work at Mai Pine,
So everyone there worked at Maui Pine. He
they
lived there.
built, yeah, you have a house. Plantation life wasn't really bad, especially Haile Mai'li. We had a theater, a gym, a hall, and like I was telling you, you know, the whole community was like responsible for all the children, you know. Some old man Hasegawa, see you making trouble, you know, he'll tell you, I'm gonna tell your father, you know. Oh, uncle, no, please, not tell my uncle Masa, not tell, you know. But you know, that's how the community was. Was really nice. All the houses was surrounded by hibiscus hedges, each block right around. And there was like Norfolk pine trees growing in Haile Mai'li. Each yard had at least one Norfolk pine tree, kinda, or every other house. And Filipinos, you know, the labor, of course, their cane knife was like razors, right? They keep it sharp all the time. And they would go around and trim the hedges.
Really?
Yeah, and everything was maintained really nice. And
Aww.
like I said, there was a theater, and where the baseball field is now, there was a theater over there, and right next to it, there was like where the Mai Pine would keep their parts to build trucks and containers, because they built their own harvest machines for the pineapple field. And across where is a Haile Mai'li General Store now, that was the post office also. Mr. Shimura used to run the store over there, and was a post office, and right next to it was a dispensary. It's still there, and
What
we
is
had
it at
one
the
doctor.
dispen? Oh, a doctor.
Yeah, we had our own doctor. It was Dr. Alfred Burden, and he was really nice man, you know, and he reminded me so much of the Kahina, like Father Knows Best. You remember that show? He had that kind of demeanor, like, you know. Yeah, and then Miss McHenry was his nurse, and Auntie, oh God, I forget her name, but Eddie Bach's wife, she was one of the nurses too. And then he birthed all us, you know.
Really?
Those days you didn't have, well, you had, but they never send you to a baby doctor. He did everything.
Yeah.
He did everything, you know. And he was really, really nice man, Dr. Burden. And he knew all of us, you know, all of us kids.
Aww.
And then there was a service station over there, right where the baseball field is, the service station. And of course, the plantation on the service station, right? So everybody put gas over there. So the money they made at the at work, they put them back to the company, you know? Yeah. You know, plantation. So, but was, you know, was a great place to grow up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because we had basketball, baseball, flag football, and I got hurt when I was 6 years old, so I couldn't really run.
Aww.
Yeah, I had a spinal injury. And I go watch my friends practice baseball. We started the Pee Wee League. And I always loved this man. His name was Masanao Hasegawa. And Masanao was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I go watch my friends practice. And he said, "Hey, Govia, what are you doing?" I go, "Oh, I'm watching the guys practice." He said, no, go play. You know, I couldn't run. But he told me, go play. So, okay, I'm in. You know, I like play.
Yeah.
So he made me catcher so he didn't have to, you know, run after balls and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, I always admired him for that, you know. He included
right.
you. Like, everything I did, basketball, everything, I was always included. Nobody was left out, you know.
Oh, how nice.
You know, yeah. Nobody
so
was left,
different than today.
Yeah. Everybody, like I said, was a community, you know, and everybody knew each other. And, you know, so anyway, I tell you a funny story one time. We were like 8 years old, 9 years old, right? And so we was playing against the Athletics from Paia at Haile Mali. We also had a baseball field in Haile Mali down below the gap.
Okay.
Yeah, so this guy, I think his name was Wayne, Japanese guy, he coached the Athletics. So he see I'm on the roster. So I go on the bat. And he asked my son, "Are you going to put a pinch runner?" "Oh, no, he's going to run." "Yeah, okay." So hit the ball. You know, like for a double, but I know it's speed, so I was stuck on first base.
But you made it to first?
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah.
So Leslie Arakawa, a good friend of mine, Leslie Arakawa, he's next. So Leslie nails the ball deep left field, right? Deep. So now he's fast walking behind me, and he's got to follow me around the bases. So we come around second base, Leslie is behind me. I'm trying to run, and these little jumping.
You're like, walk?
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's like a fast walk, and Leslie's over there acting like he's running. And then there's this little Japanese boy. Every time I think about this, I see him.
Yeah.
He's on third base. You know, he's 3'9", yeah? And he's 8 years old, so his hat is big. His glove is just as big as him. And his ears are sticking out under his hat, right? And he sees me coming, and he just freezes. The ball goes past him. Me and Leslie bake it on. The whole place erupts.
Oh, my.
The whole place erupts. I always, you know, whenever I think of Masanao, I always think about how he included me and that game in particular.
Yeah.
And then because I was handicapped, you know, later on in life, you know, I met a lot of these guys who coached and seen me play and say, "Oh, you know, big inspiration, you know." I go, "How you know me?" And, "Oh, I used to coach, you know, the Ali's or something, the Dodgers or something, you know."
Yeah.
Yeah, so Haile Mali was really nice. And Christmas, the Veterans Club, Haile Mali had a Veterans, Maui Pine had a Veterans Club.
Mm-hmm.
And they would get all together, See, there was the gym, and in the back of the gym with Kalua Pig, and there was a kitchen, just kitchen, like about this size, and had a kitchen, and they would gather, you know, coconuts and stuff, and then us kids wanted to work in a kitchen because they got their tripod with the hot, the like a saw blade where you scrape the coconut.
And then, that like a grater.
And then
Uncle was just talking about that, like about somebody
you scrape them like this.
Right.
And then you take the all the coconut into the anti guys and they're making haupia and kololo.
Oh,
see, and then by the gym, my Uncle Clement Bach, Eddie Bach had the Bach brothers and a bunch of other guys, they would call a pig and they call it like three pigs, you know. And then they'd have a big party for the veterans and all the families. We had Santa Clauses come and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, it was really nice. And then down in Kihei, where Kihei Canoe Club is, but if you go towards Malaya, just 100 yards from where Kihei Canoe, that where it's condos now, there was Maui Pine Park. So we used to go stay down there, the veterans, we go stay down there, all the families, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
So kind of like the one in Kihei, that, you know how there's that veterans center in Kihei right on the ocean?
Well, this was a huge Quonset hut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and had showers and everything, and had a roof on the outside, and we go down there, and in the back there was a little wading pool for the little kids, and then we'd stay on the beach all day, you know, and then we'd have contests. Yeah, we'd have crab contests, you know, and stuff.
So that, like, getting the crabs?
In the night, we go and catch sand crabs, you know, and then they come over there who get the biggest crabs. And, of course, the Filipinos and the Japanese guys and a couple of Portuguese, of course, they're gambling, right? Nickel, dime, quarter, you know. And they, you know, and yeah, and also little ways more down where they got condos now, was a fishing village.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was the name of that village?
I don't know the name of the village, but it was a fishing village. And when we'd be camping down there, we'd go down to the beach because we see the fishermen, they hook it a net in. You know, a big net and a circle, big circle, and they'd be hooking net. So we'd run over and go hook it a net with them, you know. And that was their life over there. But they'd give us a couple fish, you know.
I never seen that net. Like, is it just huge?
Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge net.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, hi. Yeah. You know, because they lay it in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they hook the thing in.
And so you need everyone to be on that.
Yeah, it's big. If you stretch it out straight, I think.
Like as big as this whole area to the paw, or bigger even?
If you stretch it out straight, I think it goes about 70 yards.
Ooh,
maybe
really?
100.
Oh
yeah, because
gosh.
They lay it out like that, and then they go with the boat and they pull the two ends in, and then everybody on the beach pulling it in.
Wow. Yeah, and then all the fish would be caught in the net.
Yeah.
And then you just open the net on the beach.
Oh, well, yeah, kind of. It's not like tunnel, it's just like this.
Oh,
yeah.
Not like a bag.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I see. You just put it in, like, got it. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd go camping down there, and we had, we had a Boy Scout 50 Jamboree down there. So all the kids from Haile Mailea, we'd go down there, and we had spent the weekend down there. And then had a Sheriff Horiuchi and my auntie Olive Silva. They would teach Aikido in the gym. They would teach Aikido in the gym, and then Auntie Olive was one of the then mothers.
You know? Aww.
Yeah, and there was lots to do. There was, and everybody was a nice community. You cannot beat growing up over there, you know?
Yeah.
And then we was funny at Christmas, especially New Year's, because my dad guys, you know, they'd walk down to my Uncle Louie's house, and my Auntie Ethel and my Uncle Louie, a brew, and my dad and my mom, they'd go, hey, you know, we go over to the favelas. And they go over there and they drink Portuguese wine and get all smashed and come out of there, stumbling out of the house. And then, where are we going now? We go up to the Chan's house. So they go to the Chan's house and come wobbling out of there. Never have to drive. You just go to a different neighbor's house. You know?
Right.
All our uncles and aunties all live there. So that was pretty funny. And then Christmas time, people would walk around the house, go caroling to your
really?
House. Yeah, especially the Kaili Hoes. Oh God, I forgot Auntie's name, but the Kaili Hoes, the Hawaiian family, and they had some other people, and they'd go walk house to house and carol, yeah. And the Kaili Hoes could sing.
Really?
And the other ladies, Portuguese ladies, and a couple men that go walk with them, they all could sing because they sang for the church. Everybody sang for the choir adults.
Aww.
Yeah, so their voices was
beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And we had all that kind of stuff, you know. And
I forget, was there a church in Haile Mali?
The church was in Makawao.
Oh.
St. Joseph Church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Catholic church.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'd go up with my mom when they practiced choir, and you know, now they don't go up on a loft, but before they used to go up on a loft, where a choir would be, you know, and we'd be downstairs and the acoustics, you know, they singing. Oh, Mrs. Favela, we call her Auntie Bina.
Uh-huh.
You could hear her voice too. And even, you know, where I live in Halemaolo, Ilua, with the old folks down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them older than me. But we have parties or something. And if they sing, you can tell they used to sing at the church because they all control voices, you know.
Right, right.
So we had all that kind of thing. And then the women had I think it was called a UE club, where the women go to share recipes. They learn how to soul teach each other. Yeah,
nice.
It was a mean community.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so, and then I learned how to swim in Haile Mali Pond, you know, the Punawai in Haile Mali Pond, the reservoir.
Where is that? Yeah, I don't know if I know where it is.
Okay, if you, Haile Mali General Store, you look down.
Okay.
There's a reservoir.
Oh, yeah.
The okay. water was to irrigate all the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go swim in there.
How was that?
Well, we wasn't allowed to swim in there.
Like that.
But when nobody's looking, we'd go swim in there. You know, I'd go swim in there. And my Uncle Frank Govell, he was like the camp police. He was one of the supervisors.
Okay.
But he was like the camp police. And, you know, if he see you swimming in there, you go and steal your clothes and take them to your parents.
Oh.
You know, and then you go home and you get leaking. Yeah, they know how to leak. They don't want you swimming in there because it's dangerous.
Right.
You know, way across the other side, I don't know how we're still alive today.
Yeah.
But we're going to the general store, there's a shortcut. And one of the garages over there, there's this little stream, like about a foot wide. But, you know, it's like yellow. Coming down there is chemicals from the, you know, the shop. But they didn't want us to swim in there because it was really dangerous. It was really dangerous, you know. But it was big at a shoreline, so we used to go swimming there. Yeah, but that's
right. Hard to resist.
Yeah, that's where I learned how to swim over there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so much to do over there. And then as you're going out of Haile Mailee, going towards Pukalani, you know, you go through Haile Mailee, mm-hmm. you pass Mount Pine on your left, the garages, and the next camp over there was called Korean Camp.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was only Filipinos live over there, but must have some Koreans over there, and they decided to move out and go get educated or something. But they used to call it Korean Camp.
Oh.
And my dad and I used to go over there, and there was a Tata Baldo, Tata Johnny, Tata Miris, and my dad used to sell them chickens, fighting chickens. Because my uncle Evo Fivella, this guy Andaya, and this other man Santos, they used to buy all the top fighting birds at that time. Mm-hmm. And they would, some of them would get hurt, my dad would doctor the birds. So my uncle would give my dad some birds and he'd let them sell them to the Filipinos. And the Filipinos loved it because it was all top of the line fighting chicken. So the funny part was, Sundays, right, they go fight chicken, right? So in the afternoon, we're at home and my mom's in the kitchen. And she goes, oh, shit. What's the matter, Mom? Oh, the Filipinos, here they come. And because, you know, Barato?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Barato is like, okay, I sold you this good chicken.
Okay.
And then you go fight him, and then you made all this money.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you some money.
Oh.
Only problem is that the chicken that lost, okay, my chicken killed your chicken.
Okay.
So you think, yeah, you give me your chicken. Your dead chicken, you give me your chicken.
Okay.
Take them home, cook them.
Okay.
So my mom seen them coming, and she knows that they won. Daddy gonna make a couple of bucks, but daddy gonna come in the house and say, mommy, make hot water, because we'll need some roosters tonight. And then... But she never liked, because I hate looking at it, because they get cut, you know. I don't like fighting. Yeah. I don't like chicken fighting. I don't like it.
Me neither. It's too...
No, it's cruel.
Yeah.
To me, it's cruel. You know, how would the owners like, I tie them with knives on their legs, and we'll kick the crap out of each other in the ring.
Right.
And those chickens, they'll fight to the death, you know, and... That's the part I never liked. I went watch couple, but I cannot watch it.
Yeah.
Because you can see the life draining out of them, you know. I hate that. I hate that. I just telling you that because that's what I saw.
Yeah. You know, what?
Because they're fighting.
Yeah.
And he got caught, and he's mortally wounded, and you can see him looking.
So you can tell he's like.
Yeah, you can look. You can see him looking because he still want to fight, but he's. His life is dream. I just think it's so cruel. You know, I mean, you want to fight them? Put little boxing gloves on with the training. You know, my dad used to train. I used to help train, and we had these little boxing gloves that we put on them.
Really?
Yeah. Cover the spur, they would cut it short so they could tie a knife to it.
Oh,
the knife is like this, and it's got the blade come like this, and then this part they tie to the spur, and so we put boxing gloves on them so they don't blind each other because they hit like that. Yeah.
With their little
So anyway, my mom, you know, sure enough, my dad comes in the house. Oh, mommy, make hot water. We're out there plucking the chicken, and I didn't like look at them because of the cuts. You know, cut, you know. But anyway, that was kind of funny too. Because she used to hate when she see him coming.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was, we'd ride our bikes through the pineapple field to go to Makawao.
Mm.
You know, it's 3 miles to go through the pineapple field. And then we get hungry, cut a couple pineapples on the way home, you know, and do things like that. Yeah. And it was, then we used to go, I never did it, but some of my friends used to do it. You know, when you enter Haile Mailee from Makawao side, there's a road, there's a there's a gulch, like, and there's a ditch.
Okay.
And that ditch is, there's a cave, and it goes all the way to, like, where Mana'olo College is. And they go with the tubes, and then we go to behind Mana'olo College, and there's these flumes, long flume, and we used to, because get all limo and stuff, and open like this, and the water's like about 4 feet deep, and we slide down there.
No.
And badoom. But we also used to lay pipes at around on a perimeter of the mouth, and then 1 week later we come back and get all opai. With all
no,
the pies,
wait, yeah. We just like catch
yeah,
on
yeah, because they go into the pipes. So we go underneath with the goggles, it's something that deep, and plug up one side with the rag, and then plug up the other side and bring the pipes out. That's about 6-7 feet long, and we just top the pie and go sell them to the Filipinos. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they always see us, they go, oh, you got the pie. You will bring, yeah, okay, you know, $2 for what today would cost you about $90, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it was real, oh, God, there's so much was to do down there. The people were really nice. Then the sad part came, the Maui Pine wanted, some people wanted to start a union, and some people didn't. So now our parents, who was friends with people for a long time, all of a sudden were enemies. Because some wanted union and some didn't. Was just fine the way we were living, you know? And we had doctor, we had, you know.
Everything, right?
Yeah, so what happened was they went union. People moved out, and then they sold the houses. Where you lived, you had the option to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad guys had land up, so we moved out of there. And then they came in with, I think, some construction company, started tearing up all the roads and stuff. And they put a sewage system, I guess.
Right.
And cut down all the Norfolk pine trees and everything. Everything just changed. You know, we also had like our own park.
Different from the one that's swings. There. Yeah, because one there doesn't have a playground anymore.
Yeah,
right?
If you go down Halemani, you know, there's two roads, right?
Right.
Go down like this. Wait, the bottom road where the baseball field is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go down in the road. Oh, there's two. And then there's banyan trees like this. And you go down this road. And well, that goes all the way, and there's a park. We used to have swings, sandboxes and stuff. And it was fenced in with a gate. The gate was open. There was no real gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd climb the fence because we didn't want to go all the way around. And then my Uncle Frank, the camp cop, he'd be coming through there with his truck.
Oh, shoot.
Toot, toot. And he'd look at us. What are you guys doing up there? Get down off that fence, you know? And then everybody goes, oh, he's up on the fence. What are you doing up there? Oh, nothing. Get on gate. You go over there, you know. Mom, he talk real mean, but you can see him smiling because he think he's cute. Yeah, you know, that he's scholar kid, you know. Get out from there. You go use the gate. Why you think we're making a gate? You know? Yeah, so my friend Rogelio Soriano, we call him Wimpy, a small guy. The boy Wimpy could throw. He could scrap, yeah. So Wimpy named my Uncle Frank Toot-Toot. yeah. And then my Uncle Frank was also the bus driver.
Oh, okay.
In the morning, he would drive us to school, you know.
Where did you go to school?
I went to St. Joseph, and then a lot of my friends went to Makoa Elementary.
Okay.
But us was Portuguese, so we got to go to Catholic school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. But then when they, like I said, when they went, decided to go union and all that, plenty conflict, you know.
Mm.
And so us kids, we playing, having a good time. Our parents not talking to each other anymore, you know.
Oh.
So anyway, they went and they did all that. Yeah, we had good things going over there. Yeah, we had really, it was a really great thing. And then one day my dad came home. I just made 14. And he said, oh boy, you go to the office, my pen office, and go sign up. I go, what do you mean, sign up? He said, you're going to work. So yeah. They had allowed 14-year-olds to go work for a plantation.
Right.
And all we had to do was a Hohana gang. Hohana.
Oh, yeah.
We would dig weeds in a pineapple field.
Ah.
Yeah, so me and my friends, we said, yeah, hell yeah.
Right.
And then we had to get pineapple shaps, and we had to get bongo numbers. You know bongo numbers?
Uh-uh.
It's like... it's like your social security number, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 1110.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It's Agovia, you know.
Yeah. How would you get paid? Like by the hour or by the work that
by
you
the
did?
Hour, and was, I think, $1.40 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was $1.40 an hour. And we'd work on the weekends, you know, and then summertime we'd work during the day. Yeah, and we had some, it was fun. You know,
because you was with your friends doing
All the boys, you know.
Yeah.
And it was good fun working in the pineapple fields and stuff. And then later on, they picked pine. And my legs was, you know, weak, so it was hard to bust through because of, you know, pineapple all like this.
Because they're in the ground.
Yeah.
Like, and you just.
And then... they're this tall, right?
Oh, okay.
So you gotta bust lines, you know, when you walk and then pick and pine.
Oh, got
but
it.
But I got lucky because my mom was working down at Robert's, wasn't Robert's then, was Aloha Tours. It was Sam Aloha who owned Robert's Tours before. It was Sam Aloha Tours.
Ah.
So my mom came to me and she said, boy, you like wash cars? I go, yeah. So I worked at the airport washing cars.
Ah.
So I was making $2 an hour.
Nice.
Yeah, I was rich.
Hey.
Yeah, $2 an hour. Remember my girlfriend go eat dinner, New York steak, $5. You know, now what, $35? And now the steak.
I know, you know, right?
And then we'd go, I don't know if you know the old airport. Had a small airport and then got bigger and then had this restaurant, Gate 21. So me and my girlfriend would eat dinner up there. It was nice. You watch the planes land.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then didn't have to pay because all the bus drivers and the workers from the Avis and all that, they come up there a couple beers before they go home. And then so when I go leave, I go to pay and... oh God, a Japanese lady, she work at the restaurant. She goes, oh, no need pay. I go, oh, Uncle Danny had pay. Oh, Uncle, you know, Uncle Hanale had pay. Oh, you know, the bus driver, they paid for me, you know. I said, oh, cool, thanks, Uncle, you know.
Yeah.
And the bus driver, they was cool too.
Yeah.
They was really nice too. There was a lot of fun down there. So I'm glad I got to work down there. It was easy.
Yeah.
Just wash cars, you know.
Yeah, good. Yeah. And then, were there a lot of tourists then? Was there like a tourist season? Or?
Yeah, the tourist season was all year round. And, you know the porters now, you go to the airport, they take your bag and stuff. Well, the gentleman who started it, his name was Halama. I don't know Halama's last name.
Okay.
Halama, he was something. He's this tall Hawaiian man, not the handsomest man in the world. Kind of shaped like a pear, but he was like 6 feet tall, maybe 6'1". He was a big man. And he looked like he had cataract. There was something about Halama. The tourist women, they just love him.
Really?
Halama had this personality, man. Yeah. He had this charisma, you know? And he used to crack me up. Was this, you know, he'd drive the tours and he go, Halama, where you was? And I see you about 2 weeks. Hollywood, and she take me to San Francisco. They would take him.
No way.
Yeah, I don't know what Halama had, but I wish I had a quarter of that, man. I didn't jack myself off. But anyway, the porters, Halama started that. See, when he drive the tourists, he waiting for his next tour come in.
Oh, okay.
He go behind Aloha Airlines or Hawaiian Airlines, call a bar hand cart.
Ah.
And then when people would be coming in the front of the airport, he would ask them, oh, where are you going? Let me see your ticket. And he'd take the bags, and then he would go set them up, you know, and they would pay him, you know, they tip him. And then when his next tour come in, he'd jump on a bus and go.
Wow.
Yeah, I miss Halama, man. He was something, that guy used to crack me up. Looked like some big bear with cataract, but Halama had something, man.
He had charisma.
He had charisma, man. And then, you know the Black Coral Factory? They make coral jewelry. It's right along.
Where is it?
Well, it used to have these two-story buildings where the tour drives used to be, the offices.
Oh, okay.
Well, Black Coral Factory was right above ours. So the guy, I don't know, Portuguese guy, he owned it, I guess. And then he would, you know, I'd be washing cars, and he'd tell me, hey, you know, you wash my car, how much you charge? I go, oh, $2? That's plenty of money, huh?
Right.
They said, oh, yeah, you know, wash my car, you know, I did a 55 Chevy. Nothing fancy, just stock, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then we used to take the new cars that come in, and, you know, Kanaha Park, got this straight away.
Right.
So all us wash boys, you know, my friend Delbert DeRio, Vince Paiva, Leslie Fatera, and then a couple other guys, they call each other up. Hey, we get this brand new car, and my guys can smoke, so we go race, you know.
Yeah.
We'd go race them in the back there. Yeah. You know, yeah. Oh, yeah, so it was a lot of fun. But I remember it was a great place to grow up.
Because you talked a little bit about your grandpa too, and where was your
which
grandpa?
Which one, the Portuguese grandpa?
The one that taught you about family.
Oh, my grandpa.
I think you said Hawaii Island.
His name is Juan Rigadon, and my grandma was Malia Mahuna, and actually the family name was Kahooka Moku Mahuna, but the Holy School didn't say the whole thing, so they just drop everything else and just go with Mahuna. So,
do you mind saying the whole name again for me just one more time slowly?
My grandma?
Yeah.
Kaho'o Ka'amoku Mahuna. Kaho'o Ka'amoku Mahuna. Yeah. And, my grandpa, he came from the Philippines. He was 17 years old. He was born 1900, so I can remember how old he is.
Right.
But he came to Hawaii when he was 17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he came to Hawaii, get all the Filipino workers, right? So the Filipinos would tell him, because my grandpa was a clerk in the Philippines. So the Filipinos would tell him, Juan, they call him Juan. When you go sign up for work, they're going to shake your hand. The holy boss is going to shake your hand. If your hands are smooth and soft, they're not going to hire you because you're educated. Okay? So the Filipinos make my grandpa with the lava rock, the cinders, every day, rub his hands till they come rough. So he go work, shake hands with the holy boss, rough, labor, you know? So like my grandpa tell me that, I crack up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so crazy.
You go shake at the boss, the holy. If it's smooth, he's not going to hire you because you're educated.
Right.
And then when he came to Hawaii, I found out that he boxed.
Really?
So I told him, Grandpa, he used to box. And he goes, oh yeah, I go box, you know. I go, how come you like fight? He goes, no, I like make money. I go, well, how much they pay? Yeah, $10. You know, 1917, that's a lot of money.
Right.
You know? So, because you work in the field, 50 cents an hour, $4 a day, right? You box it. make 10 bucks. You know, so, and what, Grandpa? You was good. Kind of good, you know. Kind of good. How used to fight? What was your style, Grandpa? He was a counter puncher. So he told me, yeah, I wait, you know, and he throw his punch, then I hit him. So he was a counter puncher, you know.
Yeah.
But he and I would always talk, you know. We'd always talk. I was his oldest grandson. Mm. So he would always talk with me when he come Maui, you know. And every time he come to Maui, he buy a cowboy hat. He buy a cowboy hat. We live up country.
Right.
He buy a cowboy hat. And just so happened, one time he came to Maui, and he had a cowboy hat. And my Auntie Mary Gibson, from Haiku, she was a Kwan girl, but she married Gibson.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
So Auntie Mary, she make pheasant, the lehulu for the papale, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So she made me one. She gave me one. She go, oh, Dickie boy. They call me Dickie boy. Oh, Dickie boy, here for you. I go, oh, thanks, Auntie. Just so happened my grandpa came, and he bought his cowboy hat. I go, hey, Grandpa, I got something for you. So I go get the le and I put him.
Aww.
Yeah, and he just loved it, you know? And then he tells me, when I make, you go take this hat. And I got the hat at my house with the lei on it. Yeah. The only problem is I never realized how small my grandpa's head was. Because I want to use it,
yeah.
You know? And I put it on one day. I think, the thing crinkled on my head. I go, oh, man. So I asked my daughter.
Right.
Baby, try to use this hat, you know? And she couldn't fit on me either.
Oh,
my grandson, he don't want fit the hat, you know, and I'm gonna try to find one fast on. I will show you the hats because I was, and but anyway, I got the hat and my grandpa, and this is my grandpa and my grandma.
Oh,
that was their 50th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Yeah, we all went Big Island.
Yeah. Where were they living in Big Island?
Kukayao Ranch and Plantation, and then they moved to Pawilo.
Mm.
They worked at the plantation.
Yeah. He does look like I can see now how he would have a little head.
Yeah.
Aww.
And then I see my grandpa is, I missed him so much.
Yeah.
So much I missed him.
So did they mostly come over here, or did you sometimes
go? They would come to Maui,
yeah,
to visit, and was really cool because the Kaili hoes, my grandma guys used to like to play music.
Oh.
So the Kaili hoes would come to the house and they play together, and it's like you stay in heaven.
Aww.
See, this is my grandpa's hat on my grandson.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. See, he's like this big too. And he fits the hat. And then my daughter had another hat over there for my auntie. So I thought, baby, take this to my daughter Kumu at Paia.
Right.
So I thought, baby, when you guys working in Amala here, you guys get the celebration.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then my daughter bought me you know Pohaku?
Mm-hmm.
Pohaku?
Yeah.
He make the Lahala hats.
Wow.
So my daughter bought me that hat for my birthday, this past
That's
birthday.
Gorgeous.
And then that lei,
yeah,
the Kolahala lei for the hat, my Auntie Rusty made it for me up in Vegas.
That is
so
gorgeous.
That one, I only wore it once the other day. Me and my grandkids was playing music at the seniors asked me to play all the time. So we was going out. I usually wear his hat.
Yeah.
Then she told my granddaughter, Papa, why don't you wear your hat? I go, yeah, you know, it's a Christmas celebration.
Right.
So my grandpa, you know, the.
Aww.
Yeah, so see, my grandson is small guy. And my grandpa's head, I didn't know was that small.
Because how old is Mahie, would you say?
Mahie is what? 12?
Oh. Yeah. Sixth grade.
He, first year at Kalama.
First year at Kalama.
Yeah.
Aww.
Good fisherman, that boy.
Yeah.
One hell of a fisherman. Yeah.
What a little sweetheart. That is so cute.
Yeah.
It's beautiful how that lay held up for all those years.
Yeah. That day, in fact, I took all of hats off my wall and dusted them off. Yeah. Yeah. That was from my Auntie Mary, when my grandpa used to make uncles. My dad and I used to hunt all the time.
Mm.
And we hunt pheasant.
Oh.
And we take the pelts and we give it to my grandpa. And my grandpa would make the lehuluya.
Wow.
But not like nowadays.
Yeah, now it's like
his one was like, not flat, was like,
ooh,
round.
Really?
You know, arched, thick with feathers. You know, he'd be over there. He's Filipinos, they can do anything, right? He'd be over there and he saw all the leaves. And then he would give them to us and stuff. And I don't know, you know, there was so much that, like, we took it for granted. So things get lost. And my dad, he'd go get black-eyed Susies. You know, black-eyed Susie is small red seeds.
Mm.
Got a black dot on it.
Okay.
And he'd set up, he'd rig for his drill, and he'd drill every one. He'd make my mom 3 strands.
Oh, my
red,
goodness.
Black. And then he would get cuckoo knots. He'd file that thing and polish them and he'd make his own. But the black-eyed Susie, I cannot find it.
Oh,
my mom told me he had a plant on the Big Island corner, but when they did the rose, it tore the thing out.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad would stay there. Beautiful, that red and the black dots, you know, and get 3 strands. And each strand is about what? Go from here to here, it's almost 3 feet long.
Right, that's a long.
Yeah. You know, and those things are beautiful, man. But there's so much we never really
get
lost in the past, you know.
Yeah,
you don't know what he used to do that. He used to make all this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really something, but kinda lost, and I try to find them and I go on the internet, but they don't have that particular one. This is Ali'i red. It's red, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really.
So were these grandparents your dad's or your mom's parents?
Grandma and Grandpa Rigodo is my mom.
Your mom.
Yeah. And then I had my Uncle Amy, her brothers. Uncle Amy, Uncle Wanning, Uncle Bucha, Uncle Albert, Uncle Moki. Uncle Earl. Now, my Uncle Earl is 1 year and 1 day older than me. So when they used to come and visit us, I call him Uncle. And my friends said, how come you call him Uncle? That's my, it's Auntie Bella's brother. That's my uncle. What? He's 1 day, 1 year and 1 day older than me.
Wow.
1958, February 22nd. Yeah. And then my Auntie Lima, she's 2 years older than me.
Oh,
so I'm 5 years old, she's 7, auntie. And our family always thought we never called our cousins by their names. It was always cousin.
Mm.
Cousin Kalani, cousin Kamakani, cousin Hui, cousin Lehua.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's
never
nice.
Never by their name, was always cousin.
Mm.
Yeah. And love growing up. Them. I miss them. Not only my Uncle Earl and my Auntie Levin's left from the family.
Mm.
Oh, and they had 3 sisters, my mom Bella, Isabella, my Auntie Mary, she passed away, and my Auntie Elima.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then my dad guys used to send us to the Big Island in the summer. We stayed like 1 month.
Wow.
Really cool, because come July, my Uncle Albert Mahuna, he actually was my cousin, but we call him uncle, but sometimes we call him cousin. There was homesteaders in Waimea, cowboys, Paneolo.
Mm.
So come around July, he has a roundup. some cowboys bring their cattle, the other cowboys bring the cattle, and we do branding in the corral. Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, that was so much fun because we caught brand of cattle, and they would put a tape string around them, like a rope around their chest, and while the cow's down, we jump on them and we ride them.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's only calves, you know. But some, you know,
they're strong though.
Yeah, some of them are big, you know. Yeah. And I remember my cousin Eileen one time. She jumped on one, fell off the back, and she was against the corral, and the calf just gave her a couple good ones. Bang, bang.
Oh.
And Eileen's, she's a strong girl. So she just
shake
it off, you know. You okay? Yeah, nothing, Uncle, nothing. And then the nicest part was, after the roundup, they're all in the garage and eating mountain oysters and steaks and everything, sucking some Primo beers. And us kids, we jump on us, we can go right up the mountain. We cut through the guy's lands, we go right up on the mountain, come way down, come across the road, go all the way around, and like an 8-mile ride.
Gosh, that must have been beautiful.
Oh, geez, beautiful. Beautiful. Now you know, can because the earth place got locks.
Gates and locks.
Gates and locks. Yeah, even over here, you know, when it was like out of high school, Halakla Ranch, there was no locks on the gates.
Yeah.
So you take some, you know, Sunnybrook cheap whiskey and some couple of Budweisers, and we drive up the pasture, you know.
Yeah.
Stop there and have a good time. But then, they started putting locks on the gates. Because when the hippies came, they go on all the land and they go make house and stuff, you know.
So
the ranches put locks.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. McKenna became a commune. Yeah, all the hippies had land over there. So for my birthday, my two friends, Pipe, Vincent Piva, and my other friend, Albert Durego, say, hey, come on, I'm going to take you for your birthday. So we go camp down there. Everybody walk around naked, right?
Oh, my God.
And we go over there. I go, yeah, this is great, man. You know? And, you know, we say, okay, everybody's walking around naked, you know. And, oh, my. One morning that we got up, it was really neat. It's February, so the whales are in.
Oh, yeah.
And we see this hippie guy swim out about, oh, God, you must have swim out about 1/2 mile or something. And he just was in there and all had whales, you know, had like 2-3 whales.
Wow.
And he just threaded water and, you know, stayed out there. How peaceful he looked, you know.
Yeah.
And then, but, you know, it was kind of nice. But then we used to go camping, McKenna, like Easter.
Yeah.
Like about 14 of my friends and some Wahinas that come along.
We'd all go camping. Whereabouts? Like
on McKenna, the Long Beach.
The Long Beach, yeah.
We go stay on there because we could drive our trucks onto the beach.
Oh.
Those days you could drive the trucks.
Oh.
So we get all our trucks and park over there. And
I bet that was
nice. We spent 2-3 days down there, you know, Easter weekend or something. And we had this Holly girl, Jill Martin, redhead. She was our barber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she would cut our hair and stuff, you know, all the time. Yeah. Every time she sees us, she's still alive. I see her. I'm so happy to see her over here. You know, and every time we see her, we're talking to her, and she's grabbing our hand. You know, you need to come in and have a trim. So we go up to her house up in Olinda, and she cuts our hair, and, you know, we step there, and half the time we're partying anyway, you know. Yeah. Jill, yeah, I'm happy to see, because she went through some illnesses, you know, from all the partying we used to do, we used to do drugs and stuff, you know, cocaine and drink. God, we used to drink whiskey like it's water. And So, you know, things catch up,
right.
You know, but I'm so happy that she made it through. I still see her mom. She drives a brown van.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once in a while, I'm haunting the streets. She still called me Dickie. Dickie boy. Hey, Jill, you know? Yeah, she's, I love that girl. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, you were talking earlier about.
Another thing before I forget. My great grandma.
Okay, yeah.
And my grandma. They both died on my birthday.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was found that kind of strange. So whenever I go to Big Island, go to Kukayao Cemetery, it's like by a gulch, you know, old broken buildings around it. And we go clean the graves and put flowers.
Oh, nice.
And I noticed one time, I go, hey, you know, my great-grandma and my grandma died on my birthday.
Before you were born? Or after?
Well, my grandma really? After I was born.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because your great, because it was your great-great or just your great?
My great-grandma.
Yeah.
And my grandma.
Oh, got it. Yeah, so your grandma, too.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of, but my great-grandpa, he's a mystery, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's his name was Carlos. But he's not buried with my grandma guys. So we tried to research him and somebody came out like he was a navigator. But then somebody came out that he's buried up in Kohala in the mountains with Kamehameha someplace because he supposedly was like a priest. A kahuna for Kamehameha, one of the kahunas, not kahunas. Kamehameha's main kahuna was Naole, the one that took him in and brought him up. Yeah.
Right.
And so he, you know, he's kind of a mystery to us. Yeah. Yeah. And he was a, we know her great grandma's buried, but he not there.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And one time, my ex-wife and I thought we'd go Big Island because I had to go find out. And had this Portuguese family, Bosco family, they live along the road on Cucayao. And a lot of graves. Because from the road down to the ocean, those were villages, you know. And so I asked the permission to go look. And they said, yeah, go. And they thought, oh, be careful where the garage is. Because the ground was like soft and I was walking with a cane and it would sink like this. And then I had all these graves, but I don't think my grandpa, great grandpa would be buried there.
Yeah.
But the garage is, didn't have any roof or nothing, just a little frame wood on the ground. And, you know, it was just dirt.
Huh.
Say, oh yeah, you know, suppose that, but no more marks. That one didn't have any stone. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. So, you know, and you know what was neat? My grandma, like I'd be sleeping, and then maybe Mrs. Fujimoto or something come to the house. She's speaking Japanese.
Wow.
Yeah, and some English, some Japanese. And Mrs. Fujimoto would speak some Hawaiian and English to her. Pidgin English, you know, they speak, and then she speak Filipino, and then Manang, well, she knows in Filipino, she's Puerto Rican, but we used to call her Auntie Manang Su, who lived next door to us. She's Puerto Rican, and, you know, my grandma would speak Puerto Rican.
Wow.
And I think that's what Pidgin English is, the way they use each other's language.
Right. So you kind of saw it in development and how it came about.
Yeah. So they would, that's how they know all these languages, you know. They could speak the different languages. That's enough to get by.
Right. Know? To talk to each other.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that was really neat too. That was really nice too. Yeah.
So you had mentioned when you worked with the kids at Seabury, you would talk to them about something that your grandpa used to talk to you about around family.
Yeah, my grandpa would just, he would just pretty much, that was pretty much it about And he would tell me things like, a woman, wife, you get kids, wife, husband. So you get the children, they're a plant in the garden. You get the wife, and she nurture weed, nurture the kids. And then the husband is the windbreak.
Mm.
You protect the plants and the thing. He used to talk like that.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, you know, the the children is the plants, and then the mama is the she take care of the garden, and then the daddy is there, is the windbreak for no harm. Talk to me like that. And one time was funny. He was on Maui and was in my brother-in-law's house, and my girlfriend at that time was Portuguese, Christine Gomes. She was a honey too. So I thought, hey, you know, my grandpa's in town, come, you go meet him. Oh, okay, so we went over and it was in the kitchen, me and my grandpa's talking. We always end up alone. And then I thought, oh, Chris, you know, come in. So she come in, because she was with my sister, guys, you know. And she sit down and my grandpa goes, oh, nice to meet you, baby, you know. And then he goes, you're Portuguese. And she goes, oh, yeah. And he goes, oh, that's okay. Afterwards, we went home, and she goes, your grandpa don't like me. I go, why? I thought I was Portuguese, and he said, that's okay. And then I go, no, he meant, that's okay. Not, you know, not that kind. Oh, I wish my grandson had a Filipino or something, you know.
Yeah,
he meant, that's okay. He's, oh, that's okay, you know. But I tell you what's funny. He come to Maui and he want to pick Alimuko and all that kind of thing. Okay, Ogo. So we take him to Camp One, you know, Camp One, Kanaha Park.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that was called Nazca.
I've heard people refer to that, but I never knew. Why was it called that?
Was because of the military, National Aeronautics something or something.
Oh, got it.
So it's Nazca. Called Nazca. Okay. Yeah. And there are houses down there and was. In the back of school, like Camp One.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to come in and he's like, go pick limo. Because hard at Big Island.
Yeah.
You know, hard for the guy. So
he'd
go in the water and he go dive, you know. And he come on a shore. I remember the first time I was there, him and my dad down there. And he come on a beach and he kind of mad. And my dad goes, Daddy, what's the matter, Dad? He goes, that sounds like a bit Filipinos. What's the matter, Dad? That's stupid. Sound like a bit that's Filipinos. Why, Dad? Because my grandpa, when he picked the limo, like the limo growing, he pick them, but he not take the root.
Oh, okay.
The Filipinos would harvest the whole thing so no can grow. And he look and he can tell. And he go blame the Filipinos. I sauce that sound like a bit. That's okay, Daddy. No, this boy no can grow. You know,
the beginning of the end of limo, right?
Well,
yeah.
Well, the water's not so healthy nowadays.
It's that too. Yeah.
So we used to love when he come over, because we know we went to the beach at least five times. You know.
Yeah.
Go fishing. And he go pick limo. And then. Then he, you know, my grandma died from cancer.
Oh.
Yeah. Thing is, to treat, you have to go from Pohuilo, drive all the way to Hilo.
How long of a drive is that?
52 miles, maybe.
God.
Big Island, big.
And driving, that is like... And, definitely, like,
and she's sick and she's
hours.
Suffering.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, after she said to hell with it.
Right.
You know, because they kind of do nothing. She was so far gone already.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was racing canoes on a Big Island and we stayed a couple of nights with my grandma, guys, over there. And then my girlfriend had a chance to meet my grandma and stuff. Yeah. It was a good place to grow Pohuilo. We used to stay over there. My uncle guys lived there. There was bosses at the camp. And My grandpa had a Shag-a-Leg, 1931 Ford coupe.
Oh, okay.
With the Rambo seat in the back.
Okay.
But it was an old one. I mean, wasn't like Cherry or anything. It was the work truck with spoke wheels, you know. But what I liked about it, the ball on the shift, was like an orange ball with all the kind of curve in it. I saw, you know. Yeah. And then he was on supervisor over there. And my uncle Stu, you know. And then my uncle Albert, he went to Kamehameha School, and
then it was just Kapalama.
Huh?
Over in Oahu.
Yeah, in Oahu. Yeah. And he used to come home for the summer. Mm. And my uncle always play guitar on left hand. So all us kids would be there. That time was 8 of us in Roland, Clayton, Kalani, Kamakani, Hui, and who about 9 or 10 of us grandkids. They lived over there, but they would come to grandma's house and we'd stay, you know, we'd play and have a good time. And my uncle would come home, and my uncle guys, they like to sing and stuff. So he played his guitar and he made us sit down, all us kids. Okay, I'm gonna sing this thing. And when I look at you guys say, Shorobi, you know, in the still of the night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he sing the song. In the still of the night, and kind of Shorobi, Shobiro. You know, he make us sing it, you know.
Yeah.
He's come home, we used to do that, you know. And then afterwards, after my mom passed away, because my mom was living with me for a while up Makoa, and like my sister go to an in-law's house for Thanksgiving, my other sister go to the other in-law's house at Thanksgiving, so we by ourselves, and she was living with me because I built a room at my house for her, and then she told me, you know, son, next year we go Uncle Albert's, we go Honolulu. I go, you know, Ma, it's a great idea. I love my uncle, you know, and my Auntie Stella. Mm-hmm. And my cousin Nathan, second Nathan's a nut. He's so funny. My cousin Nathan's so funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, my mom died because she like she had diabetes and bone cancer, I think. You know.
Yeah.
And so she died. So I called my uncle up. I said, "Hey, uncle, you know, my mom wanted us for." No, come. So we go over there. So we went there 3 years in a row. We go and. My uncle's house, get a little walkway, you get the house, and then you go up one hill about like 15 feet higher than the house, and you got this patio with a refrigerator and a couch and a couple chairs and a table. So he tell me, my nephew, come. Said, yeah, I know what we're going to do. We're going to talk, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're up over there. He used to like smoke these cigars that are not expensive. They're like sweet.
Mm.
They get, I don't know what the dip of being, but it's sweet. It's not expensive. El Sweetos or something. And he don't drink that much, but he gets some Heineken in the fridge. So he and I sit down and we talk family.
Mm.
You know, how the kids, how the family. And we talk family again, like I used to talk with my grandpa.
Aww.
And it was really nice because when I come back home, I'm rejuvenated, you know.
Aww,
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, my uncle. Yeah, he was a very funny story about my uncle Albert. He's about 6'1", 220, so he built like on tackle, you know.
Wow.
And he's just pearly whites and he's big dimples.
Aww.
And he would grow this Prince Cohill mustache. So I was staying with them because I was taking a bartending course down at it's downtown Bishop Street. Get that college down there.
I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So they had a bartending course. I said, "Hey man, I'll go stay there." So my uncle said, "Oh, come stay with me." So because it was like 7 weeks or something. So I go over there, and then he was working for Honolulu Gas Company, you know, so He come home, and then on the weekend, he had this little Volkswagen, you know. And then he tell me, oh, nephew, go with me. I go, where you going, uncle? Ah, go down Queen Surf, Waikiki. So I go, auntie, you coming? No, he like go over there, check out the Hollywood Wahines. So I go, okay, if it's okay with you, auntie. So we jump in his Volkswagen, and he's got his beach chair. And then he smoked a cigar, not the cheap one, it's for me. And walked down the beach and smiling, you know, and all the Hollywood ladies going nuts. They're all going crazy. Because he got these, fairly wise, he got these nipples that goes about 3 days, you know. And he got these nice, and he walked down the beach like he owns it. He sits down and he's smiling at all the Hollywood ladies. And they all tickle, crack me up. And then, he used to see his old girlfriend from high school, and my auntie Stella, you know, she knew he loved her, you know.
And
that reminds me of another story. My uncle Wani, very quiet man. My uncle guy is really into the Japanese culture, so Uncle Wani married Auntie Toshi. And when I was staying with Uncle Albert, it was like a duplex, and Uncle Wani guys were living in another duplex right next door. And he used to love to go to the house around dinner time, because you eat on a floor, big table, and then Tito, she used to make the maki sushi.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd come home, and she'd make the rolls, because they would cut them up. He'd tap her on the shoulder, and she looked like he'd grab one horny, and he just started eating them. I go, wow, that's the way to eat that. You know, only Ono looked like the way he said, I cut him, and he's like, so anyway. You know, you get a big table and you sit on the floor and get all, you know,
wow,
all the food.
Nice.
Yeah. And then one time he was on Maui, and he came work because he's a heavy equipment operator. Mm-hmm. And it was at the airport. So my mom told the guys from Avis and all that, oh, my brother coming in. Meet us after work up at gate 21. So they're going to meet him up there. So me and my girlfriend was going, I was washing cars, so we was going over there to go have dinner. And there was all on a table like this, about 10 or 12 of them. And I had my Uncle Wanning, my dad, my mom, this guy Chico, Bill Pierce, Bill Baltis, and a couple other guys, you know. They came to meet my uncle. My uncle was very quiet, a humble man, and he was judo. And he taught the HPD self-defense.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and he's real quiet, humble man. So they're talking, and I go over there, oh, uncle, oh, boy. And then I introduce him to my girlfriend. So we're sitting down to a table next to him on this side. And then they was going from there to where Maui Seaside is,
mm-hmm.
where it used to be Maui Palms.
Mm.
Well, right next used to be Maui Palms. So they was going over there. There's a bar over there. So Chico, I even tell my uncle, oh, brother, we go Maui Palms. He goes, oh, they're planning wahines in over there. And my uncle turns to him and tells Chico, hey, thanks, but I love my wife.
Aww.
Yeah. You know, I always remember that, you know.
Aww.
You know, that's him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he hardly has anything to say, he hardly drank, you know, and he was into Japanese culture.
Wow.
But, you know, I always loved that and always,
right.
You know, I always admired him for that. I mean, I admired him for everything.
Right. But that's pretty unique during that time.
But when he said that, you know, when he said, oh, thanks, brother, but I love my wife. You know, bang, uncle.
Right.
You know how to live. Your life is so balanced.
Yeah.
And then my cousin Roland, his two boys, and Clayton, they also did judo.
Mm.
And I used to love them, watch them work out, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's so quiet and personal. They're just rolling each other, you know. One, he throw them on a mat, down on something. My Uncle Wani. And my Uncle Moke, he was a crazy guy. But he was real athletic. you know, arrow, archery, everything. Then he moved to California. And then my Uncle Bucha, he was adopted by the family. Mm. Yeah, you know, that kind of my Uncle Moki brought him home one day. And then,
yeah.
Hey, we're not just live with us. No, yeah. That kind of annoying. Yeah. And when we sleep Big Island, Cookayau, my grandpa had a, was a nice old house, outside bathroom, shower and stuff. And there's a patio with a fireplace, but nothing fancy, you know, just like, yeah, nothing fancy. And he had a garden. You walk up, like how the wall is over here, you walk up and then there's a garden.
Oh, got it, yeah.
And it is strawberries, they used to call ready strawberries.
Nice.
And then one day I hear this, yee, screaming. And I go, he's my grandpa got his spear and he got this mongoose. He speared this mongoose because the mongoose will go eat the chickens and stuff. So he speared. He went over there sneak and he nailed the mongoose. And the mongoose spinning like this, you know. And my grandpa's holding the thing. And oh, man. Yeah. And then had this old Filipino man live right next door. Small little guy. And he got like blind in one eye. And his name was Frankie Bobo. His name was Frankie Bobo, and we would make trouble. My grandma used to, I won't tell Frankie Bobo, but Frankie Bobo used to walk with this bag all the time. But he get his lunch and stuff in there, because he worked on the plantation. But he's kind of spooky to us. My grandma used to tell him, you guys keep it up. I'm going to tell Frankie Bobo, come over. And then Frankie Bobo used to come talk with my grandma. And then he wanted to meet me one time. Yeah. You know, he wanted to talk to me.
Yeah. Like,
so my grandma come in, you know, I thought she, you know, going to throw me in a bag with Frankie Bobo. Yeah. Oh boy, come. Frankie like talk to you. I said, oh, I don't know. I go out there, end up in this bag in a pot someplace, you know. But I mean, go outside, I'm over there shaking, you know, and then I realized what a beautiful man Frankie is, you know. You're not going to eat us, you know. You're not going to eat us, Frankie. And then my Uncle Albert used to come home from high school. And he was terrible, man. He could roll his eyes back so you only can see the whites.
Oh.
He chased us around the house. He was just screaming. And my grandma said, yeah, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was. Crazy, you know.
Oh, that sounds like Uncle, so much fun, though.
And my Uncle Moki, he had this old 34 car. He had a park in the garage. And so us, he working right on the plantation, he's like Uncle Moki will be about 27, 28 years old, you know. So he working on the plantation. But it's a funny thing, we lived over there and we hardly see him, he was always gone.
Yeah.
And he had this old car parked in the garage, gravel, dirt and stuff. So us kids, we run out of things to do. So we look at Uncle Moki's car. So, hey, we'll play hot rod. Yeah, okay. So, okay, what we gonna do? So, okay, my Uncle Earl, you know, we jump in a car, act like I'm driving, and then you guys throw dirt and stuff on the car. So we still were there. You acting like you're driving, and picking up dirt and gravel and throwing them on the car.
No.
So, the windows all dirt and dust and everything. So we go play something else. Come home, my Uncle Moki. Earl! Yeah, brother. Get over here. Oh, what, brother? Oh, only leaking. How come it is? Oh, we was playing hot rod. But we don't get leaking because our family was like this.
Oh.
If you're the oldest, you're in charge of everybody. So if you guys get in trouble, you won't eat it. The only time you're not going to get licking is if they never listened to you and they went ahead and make trouble.
Oh.
You know? I told them what to do, but they never listened and they went do it anyway. But this was Uncle Earl's idea, so. Crack. Yeah. I can still see him inside the car, you know. Going and
throwing, oh my goodness.
Not like this, we throw by the handful. Just dust. just Dawson Crowell. Oh, Uncle was pissed off, man. And man, it was funny. Yeah, he was a good place. And we used to get homesick because the house was up on a hill and only the highway. So we lived like, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles from Pawilo. Mm-hmm. So only us out there. And then from the porch, if clear, you could see Maui.
Oh,
so we were like, miss home, you know. And then a cousin would come over, we forgot all about home. And then my grandpa used to come in at night, he power, and then poor thing, he make a squash and a pork with tomatoes. He like a soup.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't gonna eat squash, you know.
Yeah.
And we just gotta sit on a table over there. And I cannot throw them out the window. So we gotta eat them, you know. So we eat all the rice and all the soup and the squash thing. Today I love that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I love that. And it was real nice because afterwards he'd go in a living room. Real simple, a kind of like a rattan couch on, 2 chairs, no TV. And he, Mama, give me my swakko. You know swakko? That's his pipe. That's my pipe. And then you get no more pipe. We had like the Toscani pipe. And he stuck him in there. And he'd be laying there. And I can see him laying on the couch and just relaxing and smoking his pipe, you know? Yeah, yeah. And then in the night, when we go sleep. Now, I don't know how we're still alive today without cancer and everything. Because they had that spray. Oh, you ever seen that spray?
Yeah.
They pump them like this.
Yeah.
And my grandma walked through the house and sprayed the room. And us guys are all sleeping, breathing. Because of the mosquitoes, right?
Right.
Sometimes it's not spray. It's like, you know, like liquid.
Like actual water.
Yeah. And we said, oh, yeah, good night, grandma.
But mosquitoes are mean.
Yeah, you know? No, we're still alive, you know. Yeah. But we still love going over there.
Mm.
And when they would come over.
Yeah.
And my Auntie Ethel, too. Auntie Ethel could play the ukulele. Yeah. Oh, my. And then her and my grandma. I remember one time there was... It was only them two. All the party was power. And they were still playing music. And they sang Noho Pai Pai. Pupu e iho vau I me hana. Only ana ho ese kupoli. That's a rocking chair song. Yeah, yeah. Ina o you me. And they just ripping that song. You know, I'm sitting across the table and they letting them fly. And then from that day on, I love that song. Yeah. Yeah. Mama, one day when you get chances, Google the rocking chair song or Noho Pai Pai.
Noho Pai Pai.
Yeah, Noho Pai Pai rocking chair. Noho to sit and Pai Pai.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I remember that day, I was, you know, I was ready, the party was over, and Teatro had a ukulele, and she, oh, Mama, Noho Pai Pai. And Teatro could play, you know, she could really play.
Wow.
And, I remember, and my grandma had this funny voice.
In what
way? It was kind of like a raspy, high voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, real Hawaiian.
Yeah,
and my daughter had that voice, but when she had something go wrong with her tonsils, and these butchers did something to her tonsils, and the voice had disappeared.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
my daughter Kalena had that voice, but my grandma had that high. That you heard that voice before, but
not many people have it. Though,
yeah. Yeah, and her and Auntie had to rip in Noho Pai Pai, man. Yeah,
I want to look it up. I want to find it on my...
Yeah, it's a really good song. Yeah.
So before we wrap up, there was one thing your grandpa said, and I can't remember how he said it, about why you need a dad and then why you need a mom.
Okay.
I'm going to be a better listener.
A boy?
Yeah.
A boy... needs a mom. But first he started with the daughter.
Okay.
A girl always needs a father to see how strong he is about how gentle he can be. Mm. And a boy always needs a mother to see how gentle she is, but how strong she can be.
That was balance. So sweet.
And that's true. Because
that balance,
when you marry, when you marry your husband, from that you learn what you see in the man, how strong he is, but how gentle he is with you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you, whatever he endeavors, you are strong because you're behind him all the way, but you are gentle with you. You know, you're yeah. also gentle. Yeah. So your son will see, oh, that's a kind of, mm-hmm. I got to marry one. Well, he ain't like that. And your daughter go, I got to marry one man like that.
No. That's a beautiful way of describing yeah. it. And yeah, it's not something we see a lot in the world, you know, these
yeah,
days.
You know, so. And when I used to talk to the Sibarao kids,
yeah.
Some of them are well off, you know, so, and they are what you call, they get everything. What do you call that? Entitlements?
Yeah, like,
entitlements?
And privileged, but like yeah, they have, yeah, yeah. they have so, material things, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I ask them too, you guys get little brothers or something, you know? How, I hate him, you know, he's always pain in the butt, you know? Mm-hmm. I tell him, well, next time you get your hot time, run over there and you hug him, and, you know, tickle him or something, you know? You know, just, it's okay if he's annoying, but go ahead and have fun with him, you know? Guess what yeah. he wants, you know? Go ahead and hug him or, you know, tie him up and lock him in a closet or something, you know? And then some of the kids, when I tell them about, because some of the kids, I don't know, you know, some of them don't have a real relationship with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I want them, this girl, she's like, crying. Because we're sitting down in a circle, and I make them sit and face out. We're all facing in. I make them face out. Now close your guys' eyes for 1 minute until I tell you. And just listen. And then you guys tell me what you hear. And the harbor's so quiet. All you hear is the trucks working, the waves breaking on the shore,
right.
The rustling on the coconut trees. And that kind of put them in a. Almost a meditative mood, so I can
right.
start talking to them.
Right.
And then I start talking to them about their mom, their dad, their siblings, and stuff like that. And then I ask them, what is the funnest thing you guys did in high school that the Kumu, the teachers don't know about? So they start squealing on each other and telling me how they go sneak and go drink and stuff and all this, you know, and they're cracking up, you know. And then this Michelle Brown, she's an English teacher over there. She don't even remember. And she goes, what are you laughing about, Dad? And I go, I cannot tell you. She goes, why not? I go, no, I cannot tell you. It's something they had fun doing in school, but it's for them to know, you know.
Mm.
And yeah. And then afterwards, after lunch, like in the morning, I take them out on the canoes, take them out outside of the harbor. There's 2 mile buoy out there. Yeah. And then I take them out on the dawao because I don't want nobody in the buoy outside. So I go out and then I spark out there to my boy and I tell him, look, Haleakala.
Mm.
You know, look. And I just look and think. You know, think. You know, how big Haleakala is, how small it is, how small Maui is. And I tell him, look, Navaeha. You know, West Maui. Navaeha.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him, look over there. You know. Just look. And just sit on the water and just listen. You know.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we come in. Then after lunch, I bring them up here. So they know the history from where they stay.
In the museum?
Wow. Let's go to the museum and go look. Because this is a history from where you guys live, you know? Aww. Part of the history. But
yeah.
It's a big part of the history. You
know? Right.
Yeah, so we come up here and they go to the museum.
and I just hang out in the back over here while the girl take home.
Right. How did they seem to be when they came out after all of that? Like, how did the kids seem after all?
It was really nice because the seniors invited me to the graduation.
Really?
Yeah, and then they repeat some things I say. One girl was funny because this boy liked her, and she was saying how she enjoyed our thing with Uncle Gabby and stuff like this. And then she goes, and now I really don't care if Willie thinks I have Tourette's. Instead of cracking up, you know. But I like working with the Sibiro kids. They're like real smart, but they can come down to my level, you know. And they understand. Like some of them grew up here and some of them never. You know, they just move. And they understand why the kids call me uncle, even though we're not related.
Right.
Because the ones grew up here grew up that way.
Right.
You know, it can be a Japanese masa from down the road. Oh, it's Uncle Masa. Is that your uncle? Yeah.
Right.
How are you related to him? We're not related.
Right.
But it's Uncle Masa, you know.
Right.
So they get that kind of thing. Yeah. And then I also used to take the middle school, take them to Hana and stuff like that. Yeah. And then when I first started with them, none of the kids could paddle canoe. So then my daughter, Ululani, and her friend, Keala, come down and steer a canoe for them.
Aww.
And then this guy, he was the principal, he was an Italian guy, Louis something. And he goes, how's Ululani's grade? Well, straight A's. Why is she so bad? Oh, I don't know what kind of money to send her there. We have scholarships. I go, okay. So I talked to Ulani, but she don't want to go because she got Hawaiian immersion. And it's so tight.
Right.
And you know what we had to go through with the Hawaiian immersion. Didn't have books, didn't have bus. We had to do all that. Fight for busing every year.
Wow.
Fight for busing. I used to take on books and cut and paste the Hawaiian words over the English words.
I've seen those books.
Yeah. I wish I autographed each one. I know. Just allowed. Yeah. So it was hard, and it had plenty of skeptics thinking that's not going to make it. Now the thing is not for the Hawaiian immersion. I think Paia school, they have no funding.
Right.
The school is dominant Hawaiian immersion. They wanted to, I think they're going to add classes. Ululani started out, she was the first Papa Malao kindergarten over there.
Wow.
I moved back from California. I heard my friend told me, hey, you know, they're going to do this. I was, Anuhea?
Singer? Yeah.
Anuhea, her dad, Kimo, me and this guy, Kona Lee, Dan Lee, we were the first three guys in line over there. Anuhea is a classmate of my Ululani.
Oh, okay.
Kayo, Kamaka, Ryan.
Kamaka. So where were you guys lined up? Like at the principal's office? Like where did you have to sign up the first class?
It was at Paia School.
It was? You were just waiting?
Yeah. Ryan, Kayo Fernandez, Popolo Simakani.
Oh, yeah.
And my nephew, he's classmates with Ululani.
Oh.
Yeah, so there was the first Papa Malao.
He is a beautiful musician, that boy.
Oh, woo! Man, Kamaka. He's
seriously.
Double house.
Yeah.
And I wish he would do it. I tell him Valentine.
Yeah.
Kauai Beauty, the song.
I don't
think
I've heard
it. You gotta sing that song. You own that song.
Yeah.
There you go. He still hasn't done it, but I seen him a couple months ago. He came out for a little while.
Aww.
Yeah. He's so busy traveling nowadays. He's
working all the time, singing and stuff.
He went, he came visit Ululani and stuff.
Aww, so nice. Yeah. So what made you so sure that would be important to have immersion? You know, now, you know,
Well, was the culture. You kill a language, you kill the race. When my grandma guys, I used to ask, "How come you don't talk Hawaiian?" "Oh, that's against the law." Because when the Hawaiians learned to read, they read everything. So they was
Right.
one of the most intelligent people in the world, in the known world. So when Kona told me he had go get Hawaiian immersion, I was saying my ululani over there. And Kumu Keiki Kawaiʻai, she director on the Big Island.
Oh,
Keiki,
okay.
I couldn't tell her from the kids, so she got the big. And then at the Arakumu, Lehua Vincent. And they're the ones was the teachers over there. And man, they never only learn about their subjects in the Hawaiian language, but they learn how to sing. And they learn names for rocks, you know? And it was cute because they were like Ululani and some of her friends would come stay at our house. You know, like this, right? And I tell them, if you guys olelo English, you're gonna have to sing Meaʻai Pohaku, Kalana Napua. Okay, so they're all talking Hawaiian. Cute, we're all like 5 years old, right? They're all talking Hawaiian. And one time was funny because Kona's girl, Kaimana Lee, she was scolding my dog. I heard a boxer. She's scolding me in Hawaiian. I said, "Oh, how cute." So I did. Kumu'ini, she was a Kumu, Madaris, she was a Kumu, but she has some problem. She come in and knock on the door in our bedroom. "Yeah, oh, Anakala, olelo English. Hey, you guys all get in here." So they come in there. We laying down in the den of the bed, about six of them. "Okay, come on. You olelo English. Sing Kalana Napua. You gotta sing Kalana Napua." So she starts singing. Then the Arons jump in. And they had voices because
Oh, I bet,
Kumu
right?
guys taught them to sing and they can and they pronounce the words properly, right? So me and my wife stay with the and these little angels they're singing Kalana Napua in front of us, you know. And then I say, "Okay, then you guys olelo English?" "No, no, uncle." And then one woman squeal on Anuhea, but she said okay. But okay is
So
considered a universal
the
language.
Hiko
So Anuhea said okay. Like Kumu Keke said okay is like a universal language. It's okay, that's okay.
I love it though that you know all of those things and
Now, Ululani's classes started with 21, I think. They graduated 11 because people started dropping out. It was hard for them. You know, like Pohaku,
Who does the
he drove from Kahakaloa, bring his kids out here for the kids to Bosco school.
Oh
You
yeah,
know,
it is a
because no more bus
commitment.
out there. They get on bus come down here. Not out there. It was a real struggle. All these Catholics and people, some people told me, my boss, he told me, "Why don't you teach your daughter Japanese?" So she can, because Japanese was coming plenty of tourists. I said, "That's not our culture." What made me do that too was I was working. I was for Morehead Food Service. These young kids I was working for us, these boys. They get drop trucks and boom boxes, but you ask them about Princess Ruth, Queen Liliuokalani, they don't know nothing. So when I heard that immersion, I said, that's where my kids going. So my grandchildren go there now. Not all of them, other sons, my son Ikaika, his kids go Kamehameha. Yeah, my grandkids all go Hawaiian immersion, and then my daughter teaches us.
Thank you so much for sharing all of that, because I think not everyone recognizes all the benefits of it still, all the benefits of it, and that it's worth kind of the sacrifice and all the things that you need to do.
The kids were so close because of we had to really be together to make this thing go
happen. Yeah. And
Kalena's class graduated 9, I think, from about 23.
Yeah.
My Vaipua, my grandson, out of Paia, graduated 62. That's how big the school is.
Right.
They get like 2, 3 first grade, my daughter.
Right.
That's how big the school is.
Yeah.
Some of my only friends, they tell me, oh, you gotta be Hawaiian. I'm not, it's not coming.